My country. It's not much to be excited about today, to be honest with you. But I am thankful that I live in a country that allows me the freedom to stand up and open a Bible and preach, to express my love for my Savior when many can't, aren't allowed to. I'm thankful for that. I'm going to be in Romans. It's all good. Wherever you turn in the Bible's good, but we'll be in Romans for a little bit. We'll start off in Romans chapter number 3. We're going to get to Romans chapter number, 6. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all that. Just going to pull some things out, maybe be an encouragement to you today. Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he has not visited this church. So Paul writes, and basically the doctrine of salvation, Paul goes over in the book of Romans. Paul begins Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, getting everybody lost. Look here, can't get saved until you realize you're lost. Paul was dealing with mindsets of, I'm saved because of my nationality. There was those that thought because they were Israelites, because they were Jews, that they were saved and that God was going to take them to heaven based off of their nationality. Paul had to let them know that it doesn't matter what nationality you are. Is everybody all right? Paul had to deal with the Hebrew. He had to deal with the heathen. He dealt with all of them, and he came to the conclusion in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 9. He says this, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Now, for you and I, we look at ourselves and say, I'm not a Gentile preacher, I'm an American, but let me go ahead and help you. You're a Gentile. Paul's only recognizing two distinct groups, and they cover the entire world. You're either a Jew or you're not. You're a Gentile. Say, well, I'm a mix. Well, then you fit right in the middle. Is everybody all right? And for those that would argue with him, he goes to the next verse, in verse number 10, and he says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Listen, I need somebody. Y'all, everybody look up here. That means there's nobody right with God. That's what that means, that righteous there. There's not one person, nobody in this building born right with God. He goes to Romans 3:23 as he continues this thought. And he says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It literally means this, we have missed the mark. Now I need everybody to help me right here. If you've ever sinned, I want you to raise your hand. All right, keep them up. If you don't have your hand raised right now, you're a sinner. You're a liar. I need somebody to help me. Because we have all sinned. Can we agree on this morning? That we fit right where Paul put us in Romans chapter 3 under the conclusion that we're all under sin. Paul tells us where this sin comes from. Romans chapter number 5 and in verse number 12, Miss Carrie. Romans chapter number 5 and in verse number 12. He tells us exactly where our sin came from. He says, wherefore, as by one man, Everybody, I want you to say Adam. Say it again. Adam. Say it with me. Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And so death passed upon, for that, once again, all have sinned. Now that sin was passed down by Scripture as a father would pass characteristics down to his son. Adam sinned, and therefore everyone after Adam sinned. Is everybody hearing me? Now what I want you to understand then is this. You're not a sinner because you sinned. You're not a sinner because you sinned. You're a sinner because of Adam. You sinned because you're a sinner. Is everybody all right? How many of y'all are confused right now? Just one? All right, that's okay. This is literally, it is. For somebody that maybe heard it for the first time, maybe we don't understand it, but I sin because of what's in me. You take my grandbabies, sorry. I can take my children. I can take your children. And you take your kids and you can put them in a room and you can tell them, don't touch this. And that little innocent child, that little angel, that precious thing, will go right to it while they're looking at you. I need somebody to help me. They'll reach for it. And you'll say, some of y'all need to learn how to say no. We ain't going any farther until you learn how to say no. Right now, everybody say it with me. No. All right? Lord help. Mamas and daddies, y'all are pathetic. Everybody all right? When the kid, you tell the kid not to do something and they go to do it, this is what you say. No. Everybody all right? Let me show you what your youngin' does. I need somebody. How many of y'all seen Finding Nemo? Remember when he went out and touched the butt? Everybody remember that? Nemo, I told you not to touch that. Why? Not Nemo. Y'all get back with me, all right? Don't give me no. Well, he was an animated character that they spent. Our youngin does that. Why? Because of what's in them. They do what's in them. So we have to teach our children how to do right. And nobody had to teach me to do bad. Did anybody have to teach y'all how to do bad? There were some that helped me perfect it, but nobody taught me how to do it. Because I was bad. Is everybody all right? Why? Why was I bad? Because of Adam. Because of Adam. I need somebody to, y'all got to hear me. I'm trying to lay some groundwork, and I'm going to preach real quick. But I'm trying to lay some groundwork because I believe this is missed in a lot of churches and people don't really understand this. But it doesn't matter how good you are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is everybody with me? That sin came from Adam. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23 that the wages, everybody know what a wage is? It's a payment. If you work a job, then you get a wage. And according to Scripture, the wages of sin, come on, help me, y'all, for all have and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon how many men? So for the wages of that, that's on everybody. The wages of sin is the word death there, Brother Ken, it means total separation from God. Complete separation from God. There's only one place that there's complete separation from God. And that's in hell. So the wages of our sin is death or hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is everybody with me? Now, what does that mean to me, preacher? That means that you're lost. You were born lost. Everybody with me? And at some point in your life, you have to make a decision for Christ. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. The Bible tells us, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So at some point in your life, that knowledge has to be a belief, and we confess with our mouth, and we get saved. Everybody all right? Now, if you're saved in the building, I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. September 28, 1997, I got saved, gloriously saved again. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say we might be saved. Didn't say there's a possibility you could get saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, back to Romans chapter number 6. I hope you're already there. Romans chapter number 6. I begin reading in verse number 16. I'll read. Hey, listen, don't get worried. We're going to be out of here in just a few minutes. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Paul writing, and he says, there's a way that you can know for sure whether or not you're saved. He says, to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto what? Righteousness. All right, stay with me. Now, this ain't talking about some of you done got worried. So does this mean that if I sin that I'm not saved? That this is not what he's talking about. This is nowhere close to what he's talking about. He says in verse number 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the, where? That form of doctrine which was delivered you, that knowledge, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I like that. Is everybody all right? Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So if you got saved, you've been set free. Jesus said, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I'm enjoying this. Verse number 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. That's not a good freedom. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. I won't read verse 23 again. But I looked at this passage of scripture and I noticed some things, and it's real elementary. Y'all ready? I have been set free, according to the Bible, from sin. Everybody with me? Hey, we celebrate, our nation is celebrating tomorrow. Actually, and you may not know this, but we were actually free on July the 2nd. They just signed the thing on the 4th. Is everybody all right? We celebrate on the 4th what was determined on the 2nd of July. I've already been free one day. Is everybody all right? More than you have, because you're waiting on July the 4th to be free for your next birth. Is everybody all right? So, we've been set free, according to the Bible, from sin in verse number 23. But now, being made free from sin. No, I'm sorry, not 23, but 22. You had it up there. I'm sorry. So, we've been set free from sin. What does that mean to the believer? That means that I am no longer under the power of sin. I need somebody to help me. That does not mean that I'm never going to sin again. Matter of fact, if you want to see me sin again, hang around me for a little bit, all right? You won't have to hang around long. Matter of fact, you can go to the golf course with me this afternoon at some point. I promise you I will sin. I tell people all the time, I told Wayne and Miss Laura yesterday, I said, Wayne, I'm just going to tell y'all, God don't have nothing to do with a golf course. He ain't nowhere around here. Don't, anything that's said out here, don't repeat it. Don't tell nobody what the preacher throws a club, does something like that. Hey, is everybody all right? Say, preacher, you sin? Yes, I do. My wife, where's she at? Do I sin? Oh, she said, so. My wife's so good. She said, so do I, baby. All right, see? Y'all thought she was perfect, all right? So the Bible, listen, the Bible tells us that you and I are free from sin. What that means is you and I are free from the power of sin. What that means is sin has no more domain. It has no more power over you and I. Why I'm telling you this is because Paul said in Galatians chapter number 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of Jesus Christ, meaning that you and I can go back into bondage. Matter of fact, Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 1, if you will, Miss Carrie, and let everybody read this. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, if he wrote that to the church at Galatia, then it must mean that you and I can get bound up again. Everybody with me? So we are to stand fast in the liberty, and we have liberty because we are set free, according to the scripture in Romans chapter number 6, we are set free from sin. So that means if we are allowing sin to reign in us, then it is our fault because God has set us free from that sin. Somebody needs to hear it this morning. You blaming everything in the world on you're blaming your sin on everything in the world. It's all on you. If you're saved, then you have power over sin. You've been set free, and you're not to go back into that bondage. How about this number two? And I'm almost done. Hey, we've been set free not only from sin, but we've been set free from shame. The Bible says this, I didn't miss this, in verse number 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? There's some of you living in the guilt of your past. There's some people in here, you're battling sin, and brother, I'm telling you, I'm with you. Everybody in here is with you. We all are battling it, but we've been set free from it, and you have been set free from the power of sin. But there's some in this building that don't realize you've been set free from the shame of sin. Say, preacher, you don't know what my past entails. You don't know what I've done in my past. What I do know is that Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. That means if you're holding on to something that happened in your past, you're the only one that's doing it. Because as far as God is concerned, He has forgotten your sin. He has blotted out your transgressions. He has cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. And so if you and I are still living in the guilt and the shame of our past, then it is all on us again. I need somebody to help me right here. What Paul tried to tell us in Galatians, what Paul's trying to tell us here is that you and I have been set free and we ought to live like it. We've been set free from sin. We've been set free from shame. We've been set free from suffering. For the wages of sin, according to verse number 23, are death. And if you're saved this morning, I need somebody to help me. We've been set free from the penalty of sin. And therefore, we're to live like it. And I'm done. Y'all ready? I've been set free from sin. I've been set free from shame. I've been set free from suffering. But I've been set free to serve. Is everybody all right? It almost seems like that's a contradiction. The servant has been set free to serve. Y'all, some of y'all, I still ain't got that. Some of you still thinking about fried chicken and you missed it. The servant has been set free to serve. Verse number 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. For when you were the servants of sin, verse number 20, you were free from righteousness. The Bible says in verse number 19, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, listen, ain't none of us condoning slavery. But I want to ask you a question. That's what that word servants mean, by the way. Is everybody all right? A bond servant, a slave. I've been set free from sin, but I've been set free to labor. I've been set free to love. I've been set free to live. I've been set free. Is everybody all right? I've been set free from sin. I've been set free from shame. I've been set free from suffering, but I've been set free to labor, to love, and to live. I could give you all them if you got time. I mean, I'll take all the time you want. Or we can understand this. I and you are a servant to the one who set us free. Stay with me. That means you don't get to make decisions. I'm going to come sit over here. I'm going to come hide over here. Because we don't like to be told what to do. Preacher, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. How can we enjoy the liberty that God has given us, the freedom that God has given to us? How can we enjoy that when we sit and look in His face and tell Him no? God, I know we're having revival this week. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do this. Somebody's going to get mad because I said this. God, I know we're having revival this week, but I really don't need reviving. My family's doing real good. We ain't read the Bible in a month. We did read the Bible one time because somebody had a question about something. Preacher, we can't do nothing at the church. Our lives are too busy. I'm going to walk back here. I like being free. Man, this is what, man, we are celebrating our independence. But I'm afraid too many of us have become independent from God. The same freedom that we enjoy, the same freedom that we speak of, and man, we're glad that we're set free from sin. We're glad that we're set free from shame. We're glad that we're set free from suffering. Has made some of us set free from Him. And we're struggling through life and we're blaming it on everybody else, but the fact of the matter is that we've been set free from the power of sin, from the shame of our sin, from the suffering of our sin. The least we could do is serve the one that set us free. God didn't set the Israelites free from the bondage of Egypt, from the bondage of Pharaoh, for them to go out and do their own thing. Is everybody with me? Preacher, we were supposed to, man, I give y'all a chance. I sang a bunch of songs hoping y'all was going to get to shouting and hollering and carrying on, and we was just going to have a good time in the Lord on July 4th, but y'all didn't want it. God said, I got something for them. Everybody all right? We've been set free. No longer servants to sin. We should use our liberty. I need somebody to help me. To serve Christ. It was a heavy price to pay so that you could be set free. For you to look him in the face and say, nah, not today, God. I got other things going on. How about this morning we use our liberty? Dalton's going to the piano. I'm done. I told y'all I wasn't going to preach long. What you using your liberty for? We're going to celebrate independence from God? I've been set free, preacher. What are you doing with it? Come on, y'all. What are we doing with it? Why is it that we have to beg people to serve God? Why is it that we're constantly having to ask people to do this and do that? Why is it that we have to constantly hear all kind of excuses? You know what may happen? You know, come on. You may still be a servant to the wrong thing. So, preacher, what do I do about that? I'm glad you asked. Hey, this morning I can help you. I need everybody to look up here. This morning I can help you. I can help you today. Break free. I can't do it for you. If I could, I would. I promise you I would. I can't do it for you. But I can help you today if you'll let me. You can enjoy the same things that I do. Are you going to be perfect? I'll answer that for all of you because you're looking at me like, yeah, man. No, you're not. But sin won't have power over you. Shame won't have power over you. Suffering. Oh, we might suffer in this life, but I'm talking about the one to come. Today, we serve God. Heads bowed with me, eyes closed. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm still standing on the chair. Nobody's looking around. Listen to me. Let's get this thing nailed down and get it settled today. Victory's been won. Freedom has been given. Won't you let me help you this morning? Nobody's looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you were to die right now, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Say, preacher, I do not. That's what I want you to do. I want you to look right up at me. Make eye contact. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you. Several has already looked up. Preacher, I'm not sure. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being honest right here. Preacher, I'm not sure. Is there anybody else? Thank you. You can put your head down. Is there anybody else? You're up in the balcony. I want you to just wait. Just lift your hand up where I can see it. Preach, I'm not sure. All right, I want you to listen to me. If you looked up at me, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not sending anybody to you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out. But I want you to listen to me. If you looked up at me, I want you to listen to me. I sat where you have sat. God dealing with my heart. I told you earlier, September 28, 1997, is the day that I got saved. It was a day that I came to the knowledge that I needed a Savior. That day has happened for you today. I want to help you. I'm standing down front. I'm still on the chair. Right where, when you bowed your head, I'm still in the same spot. I want to help you today. If you'll let me do that, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to come right to where I'm at. Please, I'm begging you. Nobody's looking around. It's just me and you. Let me help you. Because the worst thing we can do is acknowledge our need of it and turn around and walk out the door. I give you the information. You make the decision. This ain't got nothing to do with church membership. It ain't got nothing to do with money. It ain't got nothing to do with tithe. I promise you, I can take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. I'll show you how you can lay your head down on a pillow tonight and know that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Not because of what the Baptists say. Not because of what some other denomination says. I'll show you from God's Word if you'll let me. If you'll let me do that, why don't you get up out of your seat? Come on. Come on, let me help you. Come on, let me help you. I'm begging you. This morning, if you're in this building with your eyes closed and you say, listen here, I want you to pray right where you're at. I ain't going to ask you to come down to the altar. Every single one of us can do a better job than what we're doing living for God. You've been set free. You're enjoying independence. But don't let that independence make you independent from God. We've been set free to labor. We've been set free to love one another. Part of loving one another is serving one another. We've been set free to live. You didn't get set free for heaven. If you got set free for heaven, you wouldn't be here. You've been set free to live your life here and serve God, to love others, to labor. How about we make a declaration today? Oh, I need somebody to hear me. How about you and I make a declaration today? We're going to serve the one who set us free. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, I thank you for our church services. Thank you for the choir. I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. God, I pray every single one of us in this building, we won't discard what we heard because somebody read a verse that we've already read or that we've heard in our life before. But God, I pray that we'd see the truth in what was said this morning. Many of us are enjoying the freedom from sin and the freedom from the shame of guilt of our sin, the freedom from the suffering of our sin. But God, it has made us independent of you. We've trusted you for our salvation. And then walked away as if you didn't even matter. God, help us to live a life of freedom as servants of God.